Hello, sacred beings. Welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast. Join us as we normalize the magic and sacralize the mundane.
Expanding consciousness and deepening awareness to support you in leading a life full of healing, meaning, and magic.
I'm your host, Britt Lynn, energetic cartographer and personal transformation coach.
I'm your host, Tana Lina, a certified astrologer, rebirth coach, and sorceress.
If you're brand new here, welcome, beloved. We are so grateful, so happy to have you here. If you're a seasoned sacred being, welcome back. Thank you so much for your support, for your listenership, and we look forward to seeing you in the show.
Let's dive in.
Goodness. Sacred beings, welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast, another beautiful episode that we are so proud to present to you. We have such an epic guest today. And wow, I just have to say, there are those times, there are those mornings that I wake up and I'm figuring out what I want to wear. And I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, you're about to have one of the most important conversations of your life today. And it brings equal parts excitement and equal parts some nervousness that I try to prepare into excitement. So we welcome to the podcast today, Miss Emma Lume. Emma Zek, how do you like to be referred to?
Emma Lume is perfect.
Beautiful. Miss Emma Lume. So I was on your website earlier and I just love this piece of your bio. I really want to share it as a piece of the introduction today, and then we'll dive into the conversation. So Emma believes in the power of the human heart as our greatest medicine. Emma's a poet, artist, multidimensional creative, and wild womb space holder guide. A human being who has committed her life to expanding beyond borders, rules, and the realm of possibility. Emma travels the world writing poetry and teaching embodiment, reminding the rebel ones of their inner power. That like sends a fire up my spine. And honestly, that's like one of the biggest reasons that I really wanted to have you on the podcast, because I feel like every time that I witness you and your power through the content that you share and just what's on your heart, the realizations that you're making in your life and how you choose to verbalize them to the community that, you know, follows you, It's so activating. It's so activating the way that you relay these messages about, and how easily you're able to just turn notions that we've had in our minds on their head and get us to think about it in a different way.
Thank you so much. I really am just deeply receiving all of that. I really appreciate that. And you know, it's always so interesting to speak with people who follow me on Instagram, because that is a huge, huge part of me. The fiery, like unabashedly fearless poet. And it's funny because I've had such a contrasting experience of my own self the past few months, questioning so much about who I am and my own identity and the ways that I do want to show up. So hearing that is a really, really beautiful reflection, and I appreciate it deeply.
Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and say something, Hannah?
You go ahead first. Go.
Okay. I was going to say, we'd really love to turn the floor over to you a bit more and introduce you to the community that's here, to the sacred beings, sacred sisters, brothers, and beings alike. And we're curious if you would just share some of your medicine with us to help ground us into the space for this deepened dialogue today.
Totally. Let me grab my notes. Let's read this one. This is just a short little like artist manifesto that I wrote a few months ago. And it says, "Do not be convinced for one second that you are some random, futile happening. You are the seer, the healer, the poet, the artist of the soul who has a specific frequency the world desperately needs, unique to your design, no one else can bring forth. You must not ask why all the senseless suffering in the world, if you are a medicine keeper who does not share their medicine.
Mm. Oh my gosh. That speaks so, so deeply to my heart. And yeah, I'm so, so grateful to have you here. Emma. Yeah. And I wanted to say before, like, your stellium in the house of Aquarius is, that's like the rebel in you, right? That's like this breaking out of the norm and really owning who you are and your authenticity. And then with your beautiful Pisces rising, it's like that healing energy in the poet and the artist. And I love how you're saying we all are artists and healers and poets within us. And sometimes we may forget our abilities and we may think we have to put ourselves into a box. And I wonder about you with, you know, your sun right between Sag and Capricorn right there on the cusp of Sagittarius being such a wild woman and Capricorn being, you know, more of the builder and the more connected to the mundane practical world of life. How has that been for you in your life?
Oh my gosh. So yes, those are absolutely like the two opposing parts of me. I don't even want to say opposing, but it feels like opposing sometimes because there is this part of me that is so fiery and rebellious and wants to just travel the world and burn everything down. And there's this other part of me who's like ready to get married and have five children. So I haven't found a balance yet. I'm unsure of how to do that. I'm unsure if there even really needs to be a balance in the way that we look at it. I think that we all have multiple personalities, truly, and they all serve different purposes and come out at different times. And I think for a long time, I've either tried to rein in this fiery part of myself, or I've tried to get rid of the part of myself that wants to settle down. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, wish there was another word I could think of instead of balance, finding some middle ground where those parts can each get their needs met and exist harmoniously, I think is the goal.
Yeah. Yes. You were born like close to a new moon, like your moon is in Sagittarius. And when the sun and moon come together, it's not so much the balance piece that would be like the opposition, but just like looking from astrology, it's like literally merging. You're meant to merge your Sagittarius fire and your Capricorn responsibility and leadership.
Absolutely.
And, you know, showing up in this world and following your goals.
Yeah.
And I can totally see you traveling with five kids.
Yeah, same. Maybe like two or three. Five is a little much. I don't think I want five kids. Maybe like two.
Hey, just a side note for anyone listening. Like when I started having kids, my husband and I, we actually started traveling more than we did before having kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
good to know, because there's a part of me that's like, if I have children, it's gonna ruin everything, but I know that it'll enhance my life. I don't know why this is coming up, but I really want to be a mother, and I know that there's like so much of me that will come online when I have a child that I don't necessarily have access to yet for obvious reasons. So yeah,
totally,
somewhere in the near future.
You know, as you've just been talking, and especially that piece about balance, I was like, oh yeah, well, there's a loose conjunction between North Node and Chiron, and I don't want to spend too much time on the astrological aspects, but I thought it was poignant to mention. So the North Node is depicting our soul's mission in this lifetime, and then the Chiron is literally where we're experiencing, usually some really harsh conflictions or wounds. So the fact that those are conjunct, meaning like quite close together, and they really influence each other a lot in Libra, whose keyword is balance. Like, I'm like, yeah, no wonder you're having a hard time finding that balance. And maybe exactly like you said, and I feel like this is always such a potent piece of your medicine too, is that there's no one way. There's no idealized freaking anything that we can broadly state. And that's something I think that's been one of the most refreshing pieces about coming across what your message is that you put outward, because so much in the quote unquote, like spiritual corners of the interwebs or whatever, we can have these idealized notions over like what the goddess looks like, or, you know, just these pieces of aesthetic, or just these really, really interesting boxes that we kind of put ourselves in. And I love how you just break through those. And can you speak a little bit to that? Because it seems like it's a really deep source of inspiration for you.
Yeah. Do you mean like as it pertains to breaking out of the goddess box, or what specifically, or anything specifically?
Yeah. Just like even the molds. Because recently I saw this piece of content that you put out that was about like, you know, for those of you that think that a message needs to come through a code or a download, it's like, it can, that can be the truth for some people, but also I think it's like the vein of who's to say what it's going to come as, or how you even contextualize it. Like what does it fucking matter in the end?
Totally. Well, you just dropped a code. I'm dropping a code as I'm speaking. Like the reality is that we're all receiving channels and downloads, but I don't resonate with people having to like verbalize that. Like if every time I like dropped a piece of wisdom, I'm like, hold on a second, something's coming through. Like I just don't resonate with that at all. I grew up in the church. And it reminds me of people using the idea that they're speaking in tongues or that they're channeling Jesus Christ or something like that as a form of manipulation, where the reality is we're all channeling source all the time and within things that may not appear to be sacred. I really love the path of Tantra, because Tantra's whole idea is accept everything, reject nothing. Everything in the world is sacred. This freaking plastic lamp that's sitting on my desk is sacred. This anything is sacred. And I think that's where the modern new age spiritual community kind of gets things feel messed up, for lack of better words, is we try to separate our spirituality from our humanness. And I desire to merge those two polarities. They're not even really polarities, those realities into one. Our humanness, everything on this planet is sacred and is a spiritual experience. And true spirituality doesn't need to be labeled as spirituality. It just is, because everything is spirit. And also too, as it pertains to like the goddess archetype, I've never resonated with any of that. I remember like when I was in the church, it was like this beautiful Proverbs 31 woman who's like celibate until she gets married. And then she like has 5 children and stays at home and is a homesteader, and like her husband goes and works and whatever. That was like the Christian archetype. And then the goddess archetype is kind of similar, honestly, in a lot of new age spaces. It's like women who wear linen and don't wear a lot of makeup and are fully surrendered to the masculine and things like that. And those are beautiful, but I've never really resonated with one specific archetype as it pertains to the goddess. I shaved my head. I like to dress like a dude sometimes. Like there's things about me, mostly aesthetically, that I've always felt like I just couldn't find a place to fit in. And so I think creating a whole lens of femininity, it includes everything. It includes the women who feel more androgynous. It includes the women who do want to have the 5 children and want to do the homesteading thing. And it includes the woman who wants to be single for the rest of her life and likes to have a lot of sex. Like it includes everything. And I think in a lot of spiritual spaces that I've personally been in, we kind of box people in unintentionally. We say that we don't want boxes, but we really love them as humans.
Yeah. I love that you touched on that with even talking about spiritual communities, right? We had actually our very first episode on this podcast, what is a spiritual person? And we come to the conclusion that we're all spiritual.
Yeah, we can't not be. It's just the nature of reality. It's the nature of ourselves. We can forget. And that's what a lot of people fall under, that spell of forgetfulness. And that's when we talk about you have your spiritual awakening, but life is a spiritual experience.
I'm really curious to know inside. I'm like, who are you?
That's the question I ask myself every day.
And shouldn't we all?
Yeah.
In my mind, I often find myself wondering about you if, like, just the ways that we've all come into what it is that we're being inspired to share, mm-hmm. what that path has looked like. Like, mm-hmm. have you always been this super fire? I could imagine you as a super firecracker child. And by the way, for all of our listeners, so in case you don't know, we haven't made the connection just yet, but we interviewed Emma's brilliant firecracker in his own way, brother Alex Zek, in the bodily autonomy. What was it? Sent to bodily autonomy.
Ignite
bodily autonomy and informed consent. Something yeah. Like I want to say that's even the highest listened to episode in season 4. It was so, mm-hmm. so, so good. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that your parents are badasses first. And yeah, just like, have you been this way or has it been this massive kind of transformation that you kind of started in a really different way than you are now?
Whew, where do I begin? So my mother was really sick my whole life and had just a lot of mental health things and physical health issues, and a plethora of things caused that. But during the time, specifically when I was between like what ages, like 8 to like 20, really, we thought that my mom was just crazy. We thought that she was mentally ill. She was in and out of psych wards. And I had to caretake for her a lot when I was younger because my dad was present as much as he could be to his own capacity. But also there was some infidelity, and he wasn't the dad that me and my siblings deserved and the husband that my mom deserved either. And so it wasn't until my mom was kind of on her last leg, trying to figure out what was quote unquote wrong with her, until she stumbled across Kelly Brogan, Dr. Kelly Brogan. I don't know if you guys are familiar with her, but she's a holistic psychiatrist that's helped thousands and thousands of women specifically come off psychiatric medications. And so my mom was on all of these psych meds. Backing up a little bit, she would go to her psychiatrist and they'd be like, Allie, you're just sick. You need to accept it. You have bipolar disorder. You have borderline personality disorder, all of these things. And they would put her on medication. And then she'd go back and be like, I think the medication is making my symptoms worse. Mm-hmm. And the doctors would be like, no, Allie, that's just your bipolar disorder. You need to accept that you have a chemical imbalance in your brain, blah, 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 blah. And you're going to be sick for the rest of your life. Which, mind you, side note, the chemical imbalance is a theory. It's actually never been proven. And that's the entire psychiatric model has been based off of this theory that's literally never even been proven. So that's really wild. So my mom found Dr. Kelly Brogan, and it really was a miracle because Dr. Brogan is a very famous doctor. And so I think she had like a 3-year wait list or something like that. And somehow my mom got in. And so my parents fly from my hometown in Kansas to New York City. And what we really started on was, or what she really started on was the diet. And so that basically my mom cut out gluten, dairy, sugar, like went full paleo. And then she was better for a while. And then she kept getting sick and kept having these symptoms. And it was really mental at this point. And what it came down to is that she was in an abusive marriage with my father. And I love my father, and he has some shadows. I believe that he at the time had not worked through, and there was a lot of lying, a lot of gaslighting, a lot of like just really, really not okay behavior. And so basically things just unraveled in my family. When I was about 23, my entire family just completely imploded in on itself. And we all just kind of separated. And I didn't talk to my mom for a while. I didn't talk to my dad for a while. And what we all started to realize is that we had trauma in our family. And it was kind of around the time where that started to become a buzzword, but it's very true. Both of my parents have had patterns that they passed down to me and my siblings that were really, really painful. And so I think where my fieriness came in was when we found out that my father was cheating on my mom, and he had been lying to us about it for about a year. And I remember when we found out, it was like my reality got flipped on its head, because I was like, whoa, I thought that I could trust you. You're a pathological lie. Like, you've been lying to my face for a year. And I started writing about it because my mom was still very sick. I didn't really have any solace in her, because she was still like, holy shit, what the fuck is happening? My dad was off with his girlfriend, and I was in college, just like really unsure of how to take care of myself. And so I started writing about it, one, as therapy for myself, but also for a way to define my reality of like, my dad was gaslighting me and telling me that it wasn't a big deal. I needed to just get over it. My mom was the crazy one. He had to do what he had to do, which none of that matters, because I know how it affected me. Right. And so the very first writing I posted online was an open letter to my dad and his mistress. And ever since then, it's just been me writing and sharing my story. And I know that I have the gift of authenticity and not being afraid to tell people the dark, grimy shit that comes with being human. And also, I think now doing it, I desire to tell my story in a way where it is under the guise of forgiveness for my father, for my mom, for everything that I've gone through. Because when I first started writing, it was kind of like, holy shit, fuck you, dad. And also, mom, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I felt like an orphan. And energetically, me and my siblings were. And so my fieriness, all to kind of put a button on this, came from the need to tell the truth. It was just kind of like, fuck all of you. And so I started writing. And that's how my journey began.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I love that so much. Just brought tears into my eyes too.
Yeah.
When you were saying about, it just brought you to the point where you just had to speak the truth. Mm-hmm. And yes. You have so many, like, how many of us are experiencing that in different parts of our lives and all kinds of areas in our lives where we have experienced something, mm-hmm. and other people are trying to tell us that that's not real, or that's mm-hmm. not true, or that's mm-hmm. not how it is, or that's not how you should look at it, totally. Or you should be different, or mm-hmm. you should act different.
Totally.
And get to that point where we're like, you know what? I fuck that. Like, I cannot not say it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even further than that, it's like, we could go on as women who just get sick physically and mentally because we're so afraid of owning the fucking truth and speaking it, because historically we've been dependent on men for our survival. And we're not anymore. And I think that's what's so fucking powerful, is like, we could, but the choice to not is what makes it even more powerful. You know, like, reclaiming access to fucking speak and to use your voice in a way that is fearless and truthful and honest and authentic. And that's what I'm interested in. And that's a lot of my writing.
Mm-hmm. And it's been so fascinating to hear your story. Mm-hmm. You know, with Alex Zack, we've heard a similar story, obviously, you know, mm-hmm. with your mom moving through the healing process and meeting the doctor and then realizing about how to heal her body and how that helped him dive into the medical system mm-hmm. and do all the research and learn all about that because of how that trauma affected him in his life and how mm-hmm. he found through that trauma, he found his unique path. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love how you come from the same family, obviously, and the same traumas, and you took that in a different direction that is part of your inner blueprint, that is part of your unique coding mm-hmm. as this being as you are in this lifetime. And you chose the path of, let me write about it mm-hmm. in a poetic sense.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful to see how the same experience mm-hmm. of something can be used and alchemized mm-hmm. and then it brings out your unique medicine.
Totally. Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I have memories of Alec and I as children, and there's one specific memory where I was like my favorite musical was Cats. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, but it's literally my fucking favorite. And me and my friend, when I was probably in like fifth grade, we put on an entire production in the basement of my childhood home. Like, it was just us two. And we like, somehow we're going to just like put on Cats. I don't even think we had an audience. It was just for us. We had like, we made costumes and everything. And Alec comes in as my older brother and just like tears everything down. And he's like, this is not happening. And it was just like him playing a prank on me. But it's funny because Alec, from what I remember, and obviously he would have a different experience of himself, but he's always been very great at sports. He went to West Point, and so very kind of left-brained. And I've always been like, I was a photographer. I painted, I did arts and crafts. Like, I sang, I was more of the artistic one. And so it makes a lot of sense how we are taking the same experience, obviously different because we're different people, and kind of like using, yeah, our medicine, yeah, in different ways that make sense to who I know both of us to be.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm even associating right now, and I'm really curious to know your perspective, is like just sitting to have this conversation, or just conversations with you and then with Alec too. It's like y'all came from this similar experience as children, and then also the way that our times are moving, we're witnessing these like systemic forms of gaslighting, I'll just say it, with the things that have been transpiring the last couple years. And it's so, I feel like, so deeply medicinal. And I think that's why your communities are responding so deeply to you, because you're helping to guide them into this and think for themselves in a lot of ways, because you knew this type of energy when you were younger. So you see it in the system now, and you're so aware of what it is. And speaking to it helps other people then begin to question what's going on systemically. But then I believe it also traces them back to question where they've known these energies in their own lives, whether in their family or in past relationships. So it's like, for me, this full circle type of experience where your past brought you exactly to where you need to be in this time, to be literally leading, guiding, holding a torch for people. Both of you just seem to be these really, really intense torch bearers that are like, I've known this fight. I've known this struggle. Let's fucking go. Like, let's ride.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's why our family, including my mom as well, saw through the whole narrative very quickly, because we had like experienced it on an individual level. And then when it started happening, we're like, oh my God, this is just the same bullshit, you know? And it's really interesting, speaking to more recent things that have happened politically. I was just on a therapy appointment this morning, and my therapist asked me how I felt about the Roe versus Wade situation. And I haven't heard a lot of women admitting this, but I didn't care. Like, I will be totally honest. I had no feeling. And it was a huge part of me that was like, why are we still even asking this system to help us at all? Yeah. Like, this feels elementary to me. I understand it because I have friends who have had abortions. I personally never have. So I don't necessarily have that experience. But yeah, it just is the same bullshit. And politics and the government, they're going to keep doing the same things. And I think it is absolutely ignorant, I will use that word at this point, to expect anything differently of any politician or anyone in a position of power. Mm-hmm. And I think we are giving our power away by expecting differently. And so when the Roe versus Wade thing happened, I saw all of these women really upset. And of course, I empathize, I understand, because it is scary, but it's really not, because we're the ones that hand over the keys to our sovereignty. They don't get to take them. And that's when you move beyond the body, you move beyond this fucking realm. And that's when spirituality becomes very important and can become an anchor and a safe haven, because we know that this is not all there is. And so we don't let the small, seemingly really big things like abortions being made illegal, things like, or whatever, the V word, people trying to mandate the V word. It doesn't affect me. And I used to be like, oh, that's because I'm privileged. Sure. And it's also because I operate from a very high place of consciousness in that realm, where I know that they can't do anything that I say, that they cannot do anything unless I give them permission to.
Mm-hmm. Period. Oh my gosh. Yeah. deeply, deeply, deeply resonate with that. I've felt the same way. I feel like it's actually an opportunity for us to also talk about what is our power mm-hmm. in this realm. Mm-hmm. Like when we talk about trying to convince the government to stand up for ourselves, we're coming from this maiden archetype of daddy government, please, mm-hmm. please hear me out. Mm-hmm. Please listen to me. Please do this. It's a very imbalanced relationship that we have with our current government. Mm-hmm. And it's an abusive relationship mm-hmm. in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
And so in an abusive relationship, are you still trying to beg your abuser to finally hear you and finally be seen? Mm-hmm. Or are you saying, I'm going to create a life for myself where I'm not dependent mm-hmm. on that abuser mm-hmm. and I'm going to focus on that? That's really strongly what comes up for me in regards to, like, you know, even becoming aware there are certain herbs that can be used to prevent implantation. So, you know, so there are certain herbs that can be used for abortions, even mm-hmm. they can be, there is, like, even knowing, why do we have, I was saying that in the past episode as well, like, why do we have almost a million abortions a year in the United States? There's so many questions that need to be asked from that space, because the power needs to come back to us women, where we reclaim that and we say, hey, I reclaim my responsibility over my body. Nobody else can tell me what to do with my body. I reclaim my responsibility over that. I know when I am fertile. I know my cycle. I know how to work with it. I know what herbs to use. I know how to heal myself. But most women, we have forgotten, and we have given away our powers to the medical system, mm-hmm. to the government. And now we're surprised, oh, wait, they don't have our highest good in mind? Mm-hmm. And what's next? You know, are we still trying to, please, please, please change, please make it work? Mm-hmm. Or are we saying, let's create something different?
Create something new. Yeah, I love that you related the government to, like, a dad, because that's what it is. And I see a lot of, like, people joking about, like, calling it daddy government. And I do the same thing, because it's so true. I know for me, like, that was a huge wound in my life, like, wishing my dad would change, wishing my dad would come home, wishing my dad would be present, and, like, literally, like, knocking myself over the head, trying to stay in this fantasy land and not being willing to go through the pain of seeing reality for what reality is. And the reality is that we have a government, we have people in positions of power that abuse their power and do not want to actually serve humanity. And so we know that. And so it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, or it's like a traumatic loop that we get caught in, rather, of just trying to do the same things over and over and over again, because that energy is familiar, because the ego always needs someone to be wrong. The ego always needs to fight. The ego always needs to be rescued. And so when we can break out of that paradigm, it's like, oh, the responsibility is on me to create a sense of safety for myself. The responsibility is on me to make sure that my body's healthy, not on anyone else. But that's also not a fun path. It's really challenging. And it requires a lot of shadow work. And it requires feeling a lot of shitty emotions that we'd rather not. And it requires really looking and getting honest with ourselves about the ways that we're showing up. And so it's the only path to me at this point, because I think there are so many of us who have too much awareness to even stay in a position of victimhood anymore. We can try to, but it will cause us much more suffering than if we were to just let go and fully mm-hmm. surrender and stand up and take responsibility for our own lives.
Yeah. It's like, stop running.
Yeah.
Right. Because so many of us don't even realize all the ways that we're running from our brilliance mm-hmm. and running from our power. Mm-hmm. And it does. It takes, it's, I dare say, the biggest decision that anyone can make. But for heaven's sake, wouldn't you say that it bears fruit that is just, it's like it's the equal and opposite of how hard it was to be running. the decision to choose to stop, to stand, to listen, to be that power and that energy in your life, it like bears the equal and opposite fruit that then you just couldn't even imagine.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering about one piece that you were mentioning too, Emma, where you were saying the spiritual communities, you know, placing boxes onto us. And I would love to speak more into that as well, because we know about the abusiveness that's going on in the government and in the medical system and in those kind of mundane realms. Like, we've been talking about this on the podcast a lot as well. And I also would love for you to bring in a few pieces in regards to where you can see that abuse that you've experienced, the gaslighting and, you know, all the stuff that you've experienced with your dad and what your mom went through the medical system. How are you relating that, and how are you seeing that within the quote unquote spiritual community?
I don't know if it's necessarily gaslighting. I want to say it's more so an inauthenticity. And what feels more true to me to talk about as it pertains, yeah, to the spiritual community is, yeah, inauthenticity and how people are, like I said in the beginning, not realizing that our humanness and our spirituality is the same thing. Like, being human is a spiritual experience. Period. That's just, it can't be any more or any less. It just is, because that's the nature of this reality. And so I think there's a lot of talk about ascension and bypassing the human experience and kind of freeing ourselves of the burdens that we decided to bear when we chose to come into bodies. I think one of the last coaches I worked with, I had a huge falling out with, because it was like one of those times where my subconscious like totally just burned it to the fucking ground, because I consciously couldn't, like, I wasn't willing to realize what was going on. And so it just became a huge shit storm. And what I really, the lesson that I learned through that is I was totally like using this coach or this guru or this spiritual mentor to tell me that I was good enough, to tell me what to do, to tell me how to think, how to be, how to shit, how to sleep. And I didn't have a lot of sense of self, because I was afraid of making my own choices. I was afraid of that responsibility that we talked about. And so I think that there is a lot of people who, myself included, who kind of struggle with really being in our bodies and being human and enjoying the sex and the food and the wonder and everything that comes with being human. It's like, we think that we have to, that emotions and, yeah, just pain and the experiences, I keep saying, of being human are something that that can be manifested away, or that we can ascend out of. And that's just not the case. And I remember after I was done working with that coach, I felt slighted, because I was like, all these motherfuckers talk about, like, I'm going to get to a place where I'm just fully in unconditional love all the time. And while I do believe that's true, I'm 26 years old and I have some traumas that I have to work through, you know? And so I felt slighted, because it felt like spirituality was just a much simpler path and a much easier path for a lot of people. And why the fuck was I still struggling so much? And so that's really what the past few months have been for me as well. I've had some falling out. I had another falling out. One of my mentors that I was absolutely pedestaling, and it's just like God, source, universe, whatever, is like knocking all of these people that I was outsourcing my own power to, so that I could truly come back to myself and be like, this is who the fuck I am. And I don't need any guru or any book or any teacher or any pastor, because it was the same thing that I did in the church, to tell me that I'm good enough, to tell me anything, really. And it's not like the fear goes away, because anytime before I go up on stage, or even before I do podcasts or I facilitate anything, I get absolutely nervous. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so full of shit. I have that imposter syndrome come up, but I know that that's not me. That's not the essence of who I am. And so I don't know if that answered your question.
For sure. I feel like that was such a beautiful stream that needed to come through. And that is so relevant in the spiritual community, for sure. When we talk about positive vibes only, when we talk about love and light at all times, and even this notion that when you're not in the light, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I love when you were saying, like, oh, if you're a master manifester, you know, mm-hmm. you gotta be in love and peace at all times.
Yeah.
It's not true. This is not reality. Not just about needing to come out of the darkness and be in the light. We can be in the fake light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in fake light, just as it is in the mundane world when we have fluorescent light shining on us the whole time, it's toxic to us. Mm-hmm. As above, so below. So it's toxic to us when we are in a fake light mm-hmm. all the time. When we think, oh, you know, just be.
Absolutely. Then,
yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
I just want to say, in that moment when we are in this fake light, what really is healing in that moment is to go into darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And allow ourselves to be nourished and held in the darkness. And darkness itself is not bad either. And it brings up things that we have and powers that we haven't even known that are lying within us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and I think too, we have to have the experience of what you're saying, darkness, or of our shadows, in order to know them.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I have a lot of, historically, let's say, I've had patterns with men where I would get in really fucking painful situations with men in relationships. And I used to shame myself for that. But then when I started seeing it as a way of getting to know that part of myself by fully experiencing her, that's when it became medicine, where I was like, oh, this part is making herself known. And that's what I believe is healing and coming back into the light and really moving beyond all of that and just coming into oneness, into the capital S self, where light is dark, dark is life, dark is light. Alan Watts has a spoken word where he talks about, like, you see the nature of reality when self implies other and other implies self and black implies white and white implies black. And it's all just one. I forget where I was going with that.
And I love that you just mentioned, I just want to interject real quick. I love that you just mentioned that pain that comes in your relationships, because mm-hmm. Britt was mentioning that before with the Chiron. Your Chiron is in Libra in the house of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So it is that, and we all have a Chiron, and this is the really beautiful piece about Chiron. I love the Chiron, and it's actually right now it's activated for me. So I'm like really in my own Chiron right now. I'm feeling it so deeply. But the Chiron is that wound, the wounded healer. And it's the wound that we have within ourselves and the traumatic cycles that we keep ourselves in. But when we start to like really allow that to be our medicine,
mm-hmm.
we become the healer for
mm-hmm.
others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that wound, when you look at the actual symbol, it's like a K and there's a circle on the bottom. And when you turn it around, you alchemize it, it's actually the key.
Mm.
And it's the key to the to your deepest healing powers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Rumi says, the wound is where the light enters.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that so deeply in mm-hmm. when we become aware of where our Chiron is in our chart, we can also let go of a lot of shame mm-hmm. and blame in that regards, because we know, oh, this is the wound that I came here to experience. And I know it with my daughter too. She has a wound in her 10th house, experiencing boundaries and responsibilities and, you know, all that stuff. And I feel that very strongly in her. But also at the same time, I can allow myself to forgive myself, knowing that she chose me as her mother, because I'm activating that inside of her. And I can now feel into, okay, how can I help her and guide her in alchemizing that into her medicine?
I love that so much. What a cool mom.
Yeah, right. She's another Emma.
Oh, her name's Emma?
Yeah, my daughter's name is Emma. Oh,
cool. You know the name means like nurse or healer?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, what's her middle name?
Emma May.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that.
What's your middle name?
Catherine.
Oh.
Yeah, Emma Catherine.
You know,
what does Catherine mean?
Oh,
I have no idea. Actually, it was I was named after my great grandmother, so I have no clue.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on something within this whole space, because for me, I feel like what I witness in the collective is not even necessarily so much of this like high vibes only narrative that I feel like have been kind of shedding a lot more light on the last like 3 or 4 years specifically. But it's like, it's this witnessing for me, at least, that's so yearning to be out of the struggle, to be out of the strife, the shame, the fear, the pain, wanting to heal it, wanting to fix it, wanting to, you know, this, that, and the other thing, which ultimately, yeah, sure, that's what all of us are working toward. But also, I guess for myself, at least, just growing the capacity to hold the healing nature of being in that low of a space, because ultimately being in that low of a space is the fuel that then trajects us into a whole, you know, different space for a lot of ourselves. And it's about like having the patience and the equal and opposite love for experiencing these hardships and these hard times and the fear and the wallowing guilt and the, you know, even over extended periods of time, like only each individual person can know when they're actually like in need of help to get out of a really stuck space. But even for myself, like, you know, being 6 weeks into the deepest grief process over losing both of my parents from February into mid-March, so many of my family was so worried about me and they wanted me to go see a doctor and potentially get on some drugs to help me. And I was just like, you guys, I lost my parents. It's okay that I'm here. It's okay that I'm finding myself on my bedroom floor, like, you know, curled up into a ball. There's a really beautiful piece of allowance inside of that to allow ourselves to truly come undone for more than maybe like half an hour at a time or something like that. Knowing that a part of the deeper healing is letting myself go deeper into that realm. Yes, of course, reaching out for help if you're really feeling like you need it. Of course, but there's so much nuance inside of that space that I feel like so many of us have to let ourselves go into, because it's scary. It can be super scary.
Absolutely. I'm really sorry that you lost both of your parents. I could see that being really hard. And that makes sense that you were on the bedroom floor.
It's like, and this is a thing too, listening to your story too. It's like recently going through this, I was like, why does my life have to be so dramatic? Why does it have to be so big? And then I was like, it's not just your life. Like, don't make it all about you. Like, everybody has just as epic of a story. And I was thinking about this while you were telling your story. Like, I'm sure that you prompt this in so many people that come across your work to get more deep into their own story. You speak on self so much and the way that we can really step into brighter spaces of light is by cultivating the depths through which we've come and gaining more self-awareness over what our story has included and what we've walked thus far on this earth. Like how beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't remember who says this, but the pain is the pathway. And I think that there are some people who can become themselves without pain, I think, but I haven't found anyone. And it's definitely not been true for me. And I've found myself asking the same questions, like, why the fuck has my life felt so hard? And why have I had to go through these just intense emotional experiences and challenges? And why is there so much grief? And why am I in so much fucking pain? And I think that there's, for me, a few answers there. Again, I love that you brought up the idea of nuance because it is so nuanced. I think one, that there's a part of me that loves the pain because it doesn't know how to exist without it. And it's been such a part of my identity of truly being a victim. I will say that it's that part of me is afraid to fully step and own myself. And move beyond the pain because it's a nervous system thing, right? Like our nervous systems become wired in a way. And then of course we know that we're like magnetized towards what is familiar. And so breaking up that pattern is you can exist in the pain without suffering. And that's through non-resistance, as we all know. You can choose, if you're experiencing an emotion, you can choose it. And choose it to be something that's empowering for you, where you set a timer and you're like, okay, I'm giving myself 10 minutes to fully become possessed by this emotion, to become possessed by this younger part of myself that feels abandoned, that feels grieving, that feels fucked up, that feels like a piece of shit, whatever. And then after my 10-minute timer is up, I'm going to continue going on with my day. Mm-hmm. And that's fucking power. And that's not being used by your emotions. That's seeing your emotions as just energy without attaching a story to them about what it means, as just a temporary, energetic, emotional experience that you can use in an empowering way. It's just that people over-identify with their emotional experiences so much so that they become a part of their identity. And that's when people are like, I have depression. No, you don't. You can continue to tell yourself that story because of the ways that it benefits you, but you do not have depression. That's what I would tell myself. Other people may not resonate with that, but that's what I would tell myself. I don't have depression. I'm experiencing a really like sunken heavy energy right now. I'm going to give myself 10 goddamn minutes and I'm getting up.
You know, something that I heard from, Marianne Williamson, when she was running for president, I went and saw her like 6 different spaces, and something that she would speak on just hit me so hard that I feel like perfectly exemplifies what you're saying. We've forgotten, so many of us have forgotten how to just move through normal human suffering. Mm-hmm. We have become inundated with, again, the systems who are like, oh, do you have this? Reach for this, go see your doctor about this, go do this. And these, you know, pieces of synthetically created stuff that, yeah, may be helpful for some people, but when you don't have an insight in the books, it can be, you know, something that's really harrowing to step into. But yeah, the normal pieces of human suffering, we all go through death, we go through breakups, and that's a big piece why we have this podcast, because we're having these conversations. It's like, yeah, we're moving through some tough shit a lot of the time. And how can we tend it, listen to it, let it inform our experience, not label it as bad, not attach those stories to it. Yeah, it's just so, so powerful. And again, yeah, I love what you were saying about choosing that allowing process.
Yeah, because if it's like, I remember, this is a whole other conversation story, but I sat with ayahuasca, almost 3 months ago now, 2.5 months ago. And the integration for me was absolutely fucking brutal. And that's why I had to reschedule the first podcast. I didn't sleep for like over a month. Like, I'm not kidding. I literally did not sleep. Like, there, I would maybe take like an hour or two nap during the day, or I would sleep sometimes for like 3 to 4 hours a night. But like, I had full blown fucking chronic insomnia. It was horrible. And I remember I was on the phone with one of my mentors. His name is Martin. And I was like, Martin, I'm so fucking panicked. Like, I cannot sleep. I feel like I'm losing my mind. I need to go to the hospital. Like, I even, you guys know my opinions now. And I even thought about going on medication. Like, that's how fucking intense I was. And I've never even thought about going on medication my entire life. But anyway, so I was like, I don't know what to do. And he was like, this is going to sound really weird, but choose it. He was like, just choose not sleeping. Just choose it. And you know why you need to choose it? Because it's here. And when he told me that, I didn't start sleeping perfectly again right away, but like something opened in me where I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to fully like head on go into this experience without being like, oh my God, my life is ruined. What the fuck is wrong with me? And resisting it when I fully chose it, not because I wanted to, but because it was there, that created a huge opening for me. And eventually I started sleeping again.
I love this so much. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Absolutely.
In my mind, and everyone who's listening to the Psychosister podcast, you know that everything relates to astrology, and I literally see life through the 12 archetypes, and that what you're describing right now is Pisces archetype, and we all have that within us. And Pisces actually teaches us how to allow and how to suffer and heal through the process. And you're a Pisces rising. And my daughter is a Pisces midheaven. And she actually, and midheaven is what we strive towards. Yeah. And so she actually asked me yesterday, and she's like, Mom, why is there pain in this world? Why do we experience pain? And it's so interesting because allowing the pain to be okay and knowing that you have the power to move through that is what actually is the healing process, like literally choosing it. And I had a client before who was going through chronic disease, and it basically made her often bedridden. Yeah. And I said, okay, we can stay. And Pisces shadow is the victimhood, right? We can stay in the victimhood and be like, oh, why me? Why is this happening to me? I don't want to do this. Like, I want to get up. I want to do stuff. But I love how your mentor was also saying, choose it, you know? And I shared with her the story of Anna Scheffer. She is a woman. She was spoken holy by the Christian church. I come from a Christian background. My grandma was super Christian, and she actually lived in the same town as Anna Scheffer was born. So she was super connected with her spirit. She was, you know, she wasn't alive anymore at that point. But Anna Scheffer was a woman who she fell into, you know, how they were like doing the laundry back in the day with the hot water and stuff. Every time I put laundry into my wash machine, I'm like thinking that we have this technology now. I'm like, oh my gosh, life would look so much different if I would have to scrub my laundry all the time. But she was doing that, and she was like 15 years old, and she fell into one of those tubs, burned her whole body. And from that moment on, she couldn't walk anymore. So she had to stay in bed. And now it was like such a Pisces archetype that she portrayed, because it was such a suffering and such a sacrifice. But she chose it in that moment. And she said, if this is the path I'm meant to go, I'm going to choose it fully. And what she started doing is, because she couldn't move her body, she started to really dive into her soul and into her psychic senses. And she started to have visions, you know, from spirits, and in this case, from Jesus and Mary, Mother Mary. And she would help people. People would come to her with illnesses, and she would help them through her visions and through her healing powers to find their way through the suffering and healing. And that's why she was spoken holy by the Christian church. And she was one of the saints of that my grandma was super connected to. And I just love that so much, because she chose it. She made that choice, like, yeah, this is a limitation in my life. This is something that is going on right now, and I want it to be gone. Ideally, it wouldn't be here, but it is. It's the season right now, and it's okay for it to be here. I don't have to blame myself or shame myself for it being here. I don't have to feel like I need to rush for it to not be here. I can just allow this limitation to be here in my life right now, and I can choose it and see what comes out of that choice, because that's the deepest medicine
I love that. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. The power of choice is, I think, the key to reclaiming our sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you were talking about pain, and it made me think too that it's all just sensation. Everything is just sensation. And it's our mind that wants to attach certain experiences. Granted, there's nuance to this, obviously, but like specifically speaking, emotional experiences here. Like for me, when like I'm kind of going through a little breakup right now, and there's a part of me that's like, oh my God, I'm in so much pain. Why the fuck is this happening? I could go with that narrative if I wanted to. I could choose that and stay in that state of like just obsession and rumination and shaming myself and wanting him back and all these things. Or I could be like, okay, this sensation that I'm feeling is an opening into something new. It's a breaking up of this pattern that I've engaged in my whole life. Which narrative do I want to choose? It really is all in our mindset. And we can slowly start to shift that. And that solidifies through our actions. If I were to go with a narrative of, oh, I'm so fucking depressed, I suck, I would stay in bed for 10 days in a row and never get up. Or if I want to go with a narrative of like, this is an opening, I'm going to get up, I'm going to cook myself food, I'm going to take care of myself, I'm going to feel the emotions, I'm going to feel the desire to obsess about this man, I'm going to feel all the things, but I'm going to keep moving. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay with what I'm committed to. And that's moving to a place of being that is beyond thoughts, feelings, emotions. It's truly anchoring yourself in the essence of who you are that cannot be swayed. And it's really being swayed by your own emotions. So, yeah.
Yes.
Again, it's like, stop running.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole theme. Stop running.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Such a powerful piece to feel into. I'm really curious too. I know that this podcast is coming to a close now, and I'm curious what types of offerings, what sorts of ways can our audience and the community that's coming to listen to this episode, what is it that you have going on? I know you have a retreat coming up. Mm-hmm. We're curious to hear all the things.
Yeah, I have a retreat coming up in New Mexico. I don't know when this will be launched, but at the end of July, it's July 29th through August 1st. And other than that, I don't have anything planned for right now. But I know that I will have more retreats and offerings online that I have on my schedule. But as of right now, there's nothing concrete. So if you hear this before July 29th, we have 3 spots left as of now. So
beautiful.
For our in-person retreat. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the flow that y'all are going with for this? It's called, what is it called? Cosmic.
The Cosmic Rabbit Hole.
Cosmic Rabbit Hole. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah. So we do, it's a really beautiful three, four day night. I don't even know which one is which. Experience.
4 day, 3 night, probably.
4 day, 3 night, 10 days. Who knows anymore?
Rabbit hole.
2 years. We're just diving deep. That's all you need to know. It's in New Mexico, about 2 hours east of Santa Fe, in this really beautiful Airbnb that's off grid. Me and my friend, we hold space for plant medicine. So we do psilocybin ceremonies, which is like the bread and butter of those spaces. Other than that, there's spoken word workshops. My friend is an evolutionary astrologer who also incorporates German new medicine into her work. And so there's a workshop around that. There's going to be nude portraits, like a whole bunch of just plethora of my medicine and then my friend Britt's medicine and then us doing the plant medicine ceremony together. Mm. So, yeah.
Wow. What a beautiful deep dive, I'm sure.
Very much so.
Wow. Even whenever you're like, wow, to guide plant medicine journeys, I mean, obviously, I'm sure you have a lot more expertise in this realm. There have been times that I go in just with friends and I think that I know the way that it's going to go and it's going to be so great. And it's my birthday and it's just going to be the best. We're all going to connect so well. And then we all like shoot off into completely different directions and everything just gets to be a huge mess.
That's so real. I like don't really like doing mushrooms with a lot of people anymore. I like to do, if I'm going to take like a couple grams, I'm going to be alone or with like 3 other people tops. But if I'm like out with a lot of people or in a situation like that, I'll like only do a macro dose because I'm so fucking sensitive.
Yeah. Well, beautiful. We're going to leave the information for that retreat and your website and awesome. Your handle, all the contact for anyone who wants to connect with you more deeply. And we have a tradition that we do here around Sacred Sister Podcast, where at the end of each of our guest episodes, we have three questions that we ask our guests, and these can be shorter format. Really, it's just whatever rises to the surface.
Cool.
So the first question is, what does sacred mean to you?
Presence.
Short and sweet. Yes. Short and deep. And the second question is, who is a sacred sister to you, and what does it mean to have a sacred sister?
My friend Britt, definitely Britt Johnson. Her handle is Venus Rising, if you're curious. She's definitely like my person, and she, I would consider a sacred sister, someone that you can be all versions of yourself with, and they're not going to judge you. They're not going to shame you. They just see the essence of you and they know your heart. And they just allow, there's like a presence, there's an energy of just fully being able to open around Brit.
Beautiful. And how would you say that you turn something normal or mundane into something magical and sacred?
With humor. Absolutely. I think that's another whole other conversation, but I think spiritual spaces, we like sometimes are way too fucking serious and get offended by senses of humor. And so I think like, yeah, kind of playing the trickster or the jokester energy is something that feels really sacred to me. Because it's a way to just like break up heavy, dense energy.
Yeah, totally. I feel like that's such a gift to have that naturally kind of like arising in your, your body.
Totally.
Oh my gosh.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yay. Well, thank you so much for sitting with us, Emma. This was such a beautiful conversation.
Thank you both so much. This was, I feel really enlivened after this. So thank you. And thank you for your patience. I appreciate it.
I was like, are we going to reschedule again?
I'm like so glad that I saw your message and I was like, oh my Lord. It's all a sign to really kind of get back on track here.
It was supposed to be this way, So for anyone listening to this, we had this interview scheduled maybe like what, 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And
I missed it. I'll just admit it. I missed it twice. You're like, and do you want to tell them what happened, Emma? I missed it because it's been a journey the past few months, y'all.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like it's such a piece on humanizing pieces like this, because so many, I feel like a paradigm that we come from in terms of like, having your spiritual entrepreneurship or whatever, it's like show up, be consistent. And as much as that is helpful, some of that still is rooted with this really, really imbalanced workaholism. And it's totally. Something that I think is so important and beautiful. I've been craving this energy where someone can show up as a mom and be like, my kid's sick. Someone can show up here and be like, I'm moving through the gunk right now. Yeah. And we're like, fuck yes, holding space. Totally. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes. And thank you for allowing me to be human and having grace. I really appreciate it.
More.
Y'all are awesome.
thank you for allowing me to be human. It's like such a, like that's allowing us to be, this is what we want, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what we all want at the end of the day, for sure.
We are goddesses. We are multidimensional beings and we are human.
Yeah.
Part of it.
Exactly. So at this time, really extending our gratitude to each and every one of you beauties who are here with us at the end of the episode. Sacred Sister Podcast would not be what it is without you. And we thank you so much for caring about these deep dives and sitting with us for this transformative conversation. Thank you so much, Emma. Thank you so much, everybody, for showing up, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode today, beloved. If it resonated with you, we ask you to please share it with your sacred sisters, brothers, and beings alike. You have no idea the impact a simple share can make in someone's day, life, and growth.
And another way to show your love and support is by leaving us a rating or review on the app you're tuning into this from. And if you hang out on Instagram and your feed is in need of more uplifting and conscious spiritual content, follow us at Sacred Sister Podcast. So with that being said, we hope you have a wonderful day and we'll see you in the next episode.
Namaste, beloved.